to Plot Twist I Forgot. I'm Davin.
I'm Laura.
And we are here with a very fun episode for April. Laura, would you like to explain your brainchild? Because this is another Laura classic.
I don't love when it's a Laura brainchild because it's never, like, it's always bad. Like, I've always done something bad. And this is, again, it's something bad because it's like a private joke that I make all the time to people who know me. I have no secrets. I don't know if you know this about me and why me having a podcast is like a horrible idea, because I have no secrets and I will just tell you anything you want to know about me, just like immediately off the bat. And one of my like little jokes is about Easter. It's about Easter, which happens in April. I'm like already ashamed. I'm sweating.
I love it because I wish we did video versions of this, because you're just like playing with your hair, looking down, and you're like, oh, man.
These are the jokes I make. So anyway, Easter makes me think of zombies and zombie Jesus.
Have you seen that? Have you seen that meme where...
Werewolf Jesus. Yes, I have.
That's what that reminded me of.
So there are other people out there who are as weird, if not weirder. And so I feel a little bit less bad, but like my mom would be upset if she were like, I'm so sorry, you did what?
Well, hopefully she doesn't, nothing against your mom, but hopefully she doesn't listen.
She has no idea, no idea that I do a podcast. Good. And I mention it kind of a lot. I'd be like, no, I have to go home because we're recording. And she'll be like, recording. And then just move on. She has no idea.
She too does not know what a podcast is.
No.
So my immediate response off to that was, oh yes, and we can read Zombie Bake Off. And
yes.
You said, what? And I said, well, it's a very probably great book by the one and only Stephen Graham Jones. So
I read the synopsis and it sounds hilarious. And I'm actually really, really excited to read it.
I haven't even read the synopsis, to be honest.
Here,
with you.
Let me tell you, because it's amazing. Ready?
Okay, please. Yes, I'm ready.
So there is a bake-off, right?
Okay.
At a wrestling event? Or it's crashed? No. Maybe no, it's no. Crashed by wrestlers? It doesn't matter. There's a bake-off, and somehow there are also pro wrestlers there. And then also zombies.
Oh, that sounds phenomenal. I'm so excited.
And the people, I read some of their reviews and they were like, unhinged madness, laugh so hard. And I'm like, perfect. That's exactly what I need.
That's exactly what we need. It's going to be, I'm hoping it's in line with like the Night of the Living Mannequin, because that was also very funny in certain aspects. So I'm really hoping that it is the same.
I can't say that I've read any of his books that I thought were funny. Traumatizing, yes. Funny? No, not there.
Oh no, you have to read the novellas, because there's one.
I think this is a novella. It's just like a kind of a longer one, and they spun it to its own book. But I think it was in a collection, because Zombie Sharks with Metal Teeth. I think that's a collection.
It can be. It's so small.
They must have pulled it out of a collection. See, this is the problem that I'm having, because I was like looking for the book, and I think both of these stories came from. Some sort of I could be completely wrong.
No, I mean, it would make sense because they both are like zombie books, so right. I can't imagine that they didn't.
But I think it came from like a series of super unhinged short stories that he wrote.
Which, say less, like I am so down. And so we decided we would kind of just create a list of what like zombie books or apocalypse books.
I think we started with like, let's talk about zombie fiction, but... I can talk about some zombie movies.
Yeah.
I really only have that I liked one real zombie book in the traditional sense.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of spun it to like apocalypse, dystopian, include those things. Because
yes.
I haven't read enough zombie books to recommend any. To be honest.
Nope, same. And the one that I would recommend, I've talked about a few times already on the podcast, so there was no chance of like doing that again. So, and on that note, because I haven't read that many, mine is also more so what kind of weird apocalyptic horror is on my TBR.
Yeah.
I have like one recommendation that I've read and the rest are purely ones I want to read.
And I think that's fair. And I also think that's fun. Then we can all discover together if it was good or not.
Exactly. Do you want to kick us off with your first recommendation?
Sure, why not? List? Let me open the list I made that I'm really proud of. I'll start it with the first actual zombie book. Like, it's straight up zombie horror. And that's The Living Dead by George A. Romero and Daniel Kraus. Kraus. It has to be.
I think it's Kraus. Yeah.
So, yeah, George Romero started our zombie fascination. Like, he is the end-all be-all. The king of zombie fiction. He left behind, when he passed away, he left behind, like, the majority of this, like, epic zombie novel. And Daniel Kraus finished it. And it follows from the start of the plague to how humanity dealt with it and what happened. And it's one of those horror novels. And I feel like this happens a lot with, like, zombie stories, whether it be movies or not. But there's always this very, like, emotional side to stories. Because, like, you watch, like, people you love become monsters a lot of times. Like, there's that's hard to escape. And so I do feel like this book definitely did that. There are several different POVs, and it's very, very long. It's very long. It's an epic zombie novel, and it just spreads really fast, and things go super out of control pretty quickly, and you become, like, deeply involved with the lives of these characters, and then you see how it all plays out, and it's gruesome. There's so much heart in it, but if you are not a horror reader, you're going to struggle with some gore there, because it's, boy, oh boy.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's really good.
I'll have to add it. I haven't read it, but I think I've seen it, or I've seen people post pictures, and it looks like a thick book, for sure.
Oh, it's big. It's a big book.
So my recommendation, the one that I've only on this list that I've read, is This Delicious Death by Kayla Cottingham. She is the same author as My Dearest Darkest, I think, was the title of her debut novel, which I think we both tried to read, but I don't think you finished it. I don't remember. Or maybe you never finished it or started.
Is that the one with the school? Remember. I didn't finish it. I started it. I didn't finish it. That was in my I don't know how to read books a year.
Yes, it was a very unfortunate time of year for her. But this is her second book, and it's the second. I mean, both of her books have been described as for Jennifer's Body fans. And so, of course, I'm just going to pick up anything that she writes when it's compared to that. So basically what happens in this book is, years ago, there was something melted in the Arctic, which is never good.
I love that plot trope. I love it so much. When they start with that, I'm like, I'm in. That's perfect. The Thing was, like, one of my favorite movies. It's like the original black and white, super weird. The Thing was one of my favorite movies. Like, I've seen it so many times, an unhealthy amount of times as a child. And then I'm so into that. Please keep going. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. So what happens when this happened is a small percentage of people became known as the Hollowing, and they can't eat normal food anymore. They can only eat human flesh. So, and those who don't eat human flesh regularly become feral, and they'll turn on anyone. But good news is that scientists were able to basically make synthetic flesh. So they're eating sin flesh is what they call it. So they have coolers of sin flesh.
No, yeah. I mean,
super cool. And as a result, they kind of just get back to normal and everything is fine. So you have these four girls who they're called ghouls. Like, anyone who was affected by the Hollowing is a ghoul. And so these four girls are going to a music festival, and they had just graduated high school, I believe. Yeah, they're about to go to college, but then their friend goes feral and kills and eats a boy. And so now they have to, like, deal with everything happening after that, because, like, other guests are starting to disappear, and, you know, they kind of start to realize that, oh, someone's drugging the ghouls to make them feral and attack other people. So, it's very fun. It's a very quick read, and it's unique. I like her plots, to be honest.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting.
Yeah, highly recommend. It's very much a summer horror book.
I'm going to add that to my list. It sounds like fun. All right. My second one that fits the theme is The Girl with All the Gifts by M.R. Carey.
Oh, okay.
Now, I read this. Yeah, I read this 1,000 years ago. It's 11 years old. It came out in 2014. So I'm going to read the book description because I remember loving it and how complicated it is with the character and like how many tears I shed. But that's really all I remember about it. So Melanie is a very special girl. Dr. Caldwell calls her our little genius. Every morning, Melanie waits in her cell to be collected for class. When they come for her, Sergeant Parks keeps his gun pointing at her while two of his people strap her into the wheelchair. She thinks they don't like her. She jokes that she won't bite, but they don't laugh. Melanie loves school. She loves learning about spelling and sums and the world outside the classroom and the children's cells. She tells her favorite teacher all the things she'll do when she grows up. Melanie doesn't know why this makes Miss Justineau look sad. And that's the end. That's the synopsis. It's
That sounds like it's depressing, to be honest.
Yeah, so it is. It's a bummer. It is. It's a bummer. But it's also just, like, really good. They did make this into a movie or a TV show.
Ooh, I think. Okay.
I do think there's a second one, but I have not read it. But yeah, it's just, it's a really well done kind of take on an apocalypse zombie novel.
I like that. That sounds good.
Yeah, I don't want to say a lot more because it's been so long since I've read it that, like, I don't want to, because generally the things I remember are spoilers.
Of course.
I don't want to spoil anything.
Yeah.
But it is a really, like, heartfelt book, and it's a thriller and horror and, ooh, like, just super emotional. So.
Heck yeah. Okay. Adding that to my list. My next one is going to be funny just for the two of us because we've talked about this, but I cut it from an episode because of how just ranting we got about it, and it made no sense as per usual. And that book is They Bloom at Night by Trang Than Tran. So we got weirdly rude about New Orleans for no reason. You know, I don't know why we were hating on New Orleans, but we did.
It's because of Ray. I know why.
Just okay.
Let's not get into it.
We're not going to get into that tangent. But so I haven't finished this yet because I ended up switching audiobooks to listen to, I think that's when I started Oathbound. But I have the audio copy, started it a little bit. Narrator is phenomenal. And the story is really cool. It follows this woman or young woman named Noon. And she lives in Mercy, Louisiana, which has been overtaken by a red algae bloom. And it came out after a devastating hurricane. And so because of that, everything is mutated now. And so, you know, people aren't, you know, really living there. It's like the rest of the world is normal, but like, ooh, Mercy, Louisiana is stuck in this weird, its own dystopian horror, basically. And her mom and her are basically monster hunters. And so, yeah, super cool. Her mom is doing it more so because when this whole thing happened, her husband and her son died. So she is like on the hunt because she believes in their culture, I guess. They believe that they've been reincarnated as sea creatures. So her mom's whole goal is to find them again. And Noon's whole goal is just to continue being a monster hunter. Like, there's lines where she's like, I don't know how I would go back to reality. Like, I don't want to. I just want to hunt monsters forever. And so they get pulled into the guy who is, I guess, like a mafia kind of like kingpin kind of person, like the boss, who is the one who lends it. Basically, they borrowed their boat from. And they're like, someone was killed here. And if we don't find the monster who did it, the government is going to swarm in, and I don't need the government on my territory, basically. So they're like, you have to go find this monster that killed this scientist. And that's what it is.
It sounds so good. And I have this on audio that I'm going to do, and I'm very excited about that.
Yes, that one is, I believe it is already, yeah, it came out March 4th, so everyone is able to get it. And this is the same author as She Is a Haunting, for people who read that one. I haven't read it yet, but I heard nothing but good things. So
I haven't read it either, but I'm excited because I'll read somebody's whole backlist.
Heck yeah, I love that. That's my favorite thing, finding a new author. And you're like, wow, I have even one to like five more books, however much it is. This is amazing.
Very exciting. All right, so thus ends my zombie fiction. I've read a bunch of other ones, but I just didn't love them. So I don't want to talk about them. You know, like, they're not good. They're not worth talking about. So I will throw in, here's my bonus. My bonus recommendation is Train to Busan is the best zombie movie ever made. It's Korean. And you will have to read subtitles. It's the best zombie film I've ever seen. It's so good. So that's my bonus zombie content.
Love it.
Now I'm going to talk about things that don't have anything to do with that, but might have something to do with an apocalypse, or perhaps they're just dystopian books. Oops.
Oops. Can't even follow her own notes.
No, I can't. And I never have been able to, but that's fine. My first one is now a series on Apple TV called Silo.
Okay.
But the book, it's like, there are three books, and it's Wool, Shift, and Dust. Not great titles, but they're by Hugh Howey, I think. It's H-O-W-E-Y. Okay. So I read this on Kindle in an omnibus. Like, there were all three books in one thing.
Oh, love that. Yeah.
I read it, like, from 8 a.m. until 4 a.m. And I finished all three in, like, one sitting. Now, this was many moons ago.
I was like, I can't even imagine doing that now. Holy
this was, cow. I was in my 20s. Like, it was so long ago. But I, like, distinctly remember reading all of these books. And it's a dystopian story where all of these people live in a silo. And everyone has moved underground. And they've lived there for so long that it's only, like, legends of the outside. And people living anywhere else but in this, like, underground silo. And life in said silo requires a bunch of rules. And breaking the rules is bad, bad, very bad. And certain things are not discussed, like going outside and even saying perhaps you'd like to go outside because maybe you'll get exactly what you wish for. That's the synopsis from Goodreads. And it is, from what I remember, I really hope that there's not like some super, I don't know how trigger warning-y it should be, you know, because it's apocalyptic stories really often have some really horrible triggers. And I just don't remember that well, but I remember I just straight up binged it. And now it's a show on Apple TV and it must be good. We all must be in agreement. But yeah, I love a like dystopian survival story, and it's definitely one.
Well, that sounds fun, too, because it sounds like it may have cult elements, and that always gets interesting when there's that worked into it as well.
It's a little bit like that, but perhaps only because that's how, like, the government system is set up, but you'll have to...
Okay.
Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Maybe you need to find out on your own.
You have to read it to find out.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I love these talks because then I just end up adding like 50 more books to my TBR because you pull out some old recs that I've never heard of or
these are all super. These are all old. Every recommendation I have is from like the mid 2000s, like 2010 through 2015.
Oh, they're all peak old. Dystopian though. Love
right.
That.
Okay. Well, and that's like when the genre, that's when it was, you know?
Yes.
The good old days.
Good old days. Where we grew up, our past, the yonder.
Yeah. It's coming back. I guarantee you there's like a boom in dystopian fiction here in the next like 2 years.
Oh, there has to be. I mean, with Suzanne Collins writing new Hunger Games books, like that's going to trigger more again.
She's back.
Like she's going to do it again to us and then we're going to get something else and something else. So yeah. I'm here for it though. I love dystopian books. So I'm ready. I'm ready to
sharpen my survival skills. Samesies.
Exactly. Now, I don't know if this next one will help us sharpen our survival skills, but it will give us a dose of nostalgia because it takes place in the mid-90s.
Love it.
And the cover is phenomenal, so please look it up after you listen to this episode, and that's Head Like a Hole by Andrew Van Wey. This is a horror book. I didn't see it posted about a lot. I saw like one person post it, saw the cover and was like, I need to have that. And so I bought it. And this is, I'm just going to read the synopsis because I can't even summarize this for you. So when you bury your past, make sure that it's dead. It's the mid-90s. Grunge and flannel are fading as the Spice Girls and Hot Topic conquer the malls. Cherry gloss glistens on the lips of the youth. Modems hiss as America comes online. And in a fog-drenched cove at the end of, or the edge of New England, something terrible awakens when a fisherman reels in a gruesome catch. The remains of a young woman remain still pulsing with furious life. For Megan Monroe and her friends, this is how their nightmare begins. A wet whisper over their shoulder, a dark hand reaching out from the edge of their sight, and a name clawing at the back of their minds. A young woman scratched away from memory. To stop this devouring terror, Megan will need to mend broken friendships and reassemble her fractured past. For what stalks them hungers to remake itself in their image. Piece by bloody piece.
So that sounds really cool. Good. Yeah, that sounds really good. And I love books set in the 90s.
Yes. Okay, so one of mine, I'm excited because the author has a new one coming out this year, but Dead 11 by Giuliano.
Yeah, I read that.
I don't remember their last name. That was fun, nostalgic, and there's a new one coming out this year. So anything 90, yes, I'm in for it. So.
Me too. Okay, my next one fits the topic because I say so. And it's The Fifth Season by N.K. Jemisin.
Okay, I have not read this yet.
Yeah, again, this is very old. I mean, it's not very old. When did it come out? It's not that old. 2015. What's a decade between friends? Nothing. So, this is an epic fantasy. It's told in multiple POVs, and it's set in a world where the world has ended several times, air quotes. So this is where it's apocalyptic because the world is going to end again. And Essun is a woman living like an ordinary life in a small town. And she comes home to find that her husband has brutally murdered their son and kidnapped their daughter. So she goes on this like quest to find him. And then there's Sansa, the world-spanning empire whose innovations have been civilization's bedrock for 1,000 years, collapses as most of its citizens are murdered to serve a madman's vengeance. And worst of all, across the heart of a vast continent known as the Stillness, a great red rift has been torn into the heart of the earth, spewing ash enough to darken the sky for years or centuries. And that's the world that Essun is trekking through to try and find her husband. And she's willing to, you know, destroy her own soul to get there. I did this on audio. Highly recommend the audio. It's amazing. Okay. Here's the catch. One of the POVs is in the second person.
Okay.
So I had a really hard time with that occasionally because it's like, you put on your shoes. No, I didn't. I
I did. I did.
Don't I did tell not. Me what to do.
Don't tell me what to do.
No, actually, N.K. Yeah. Jemisin can absolutely tell me what to do. Yeah, it's really good, but you do have to, like, kind of be prepared for that. There are multiple POVs, and they're all really great, but I did, when the second person started, I was like, oh, this is hard for me to listen
kind
to.
Kind of jarring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But well, it is really great. It is a series. I have only done the first one because I, as referenced in the show multiple times, have a hard time finishing a series, even if I love, love, love it. So,
you know what? Well, 2025 is the year that we finish series. We said that we made very lofty plans to re-listen to some so we could finish it. We'll see if it happens. So
I'm committed to myself.
Maybe this is your year. You're going to re-listen to it and then you're going to go on to the rest of them. And it'll be amazing, amazing time. Maybe I'll hop on the train too because I've wanted to read her work. I have The City We Became, or is that the sequel?
The City We Became is a different. It's different, yeah. I also read that one.
Yeah, I read it because I know that one's a duology.
It's also weird. She writes really, like, inventive, like, outside-of-the-box things.
Yeah.
And, like, it is, like, jarring when you start. But it's... The City We Became is interesting. Yeah. I like The Fifth Season better, but...
Ooh, okay. I'll have to get that then. I have some Audible credits burning a hole in my pocket, so why not?
Why not?
Now, my next one on my TBR comes from our very lovely friends at Tor Nightfire, who also can do no wrong, and that's Schrader's Chord by Scott Leeds. Now, I think we're both going to love this because it kind of gives me Terry Miles vibes, more so like the last movie. If I'm stretching here, to be honest with you, but the vibe fits Terry Miles more so than anything. Okay, so after his estranged father's mysterious death, Charlie Remick returns to Seattle to help with the funeral. We're in Seattle. Bingo.
Seattle.
There, he discovers his father left him with two parting gifts, the keys to the family record store, very cool, and a strange black case containing four antique records that, according to legend, can open the gate to the land of the dead. So, when... right, do you see where I'm going with that? With this comparison?
Yeah.
So, when Charlie, his sister, and their two friends play the records, rookie mistake... they unwittingly open a floodgate of unspeakable horror. As the darkness descends, they are stalked by a relentless, malevolent force and see the dead everywhere they turn. With the time running out, the only person who can help them is Charlie's resurrected father, who knows firsthand the awesome power the records have unleashed. But can they close the gate and silence Schrader's cord before it's too late?
Amazing.
Right? That sounds like everything we love in 448 pages, so...
Uh-huh. 1,000%. That sounds amazing.
Exactly. Why I have not read it yet, can't tell you other than I suck, but also another very cool cover. It's a skull, like a profile of a skull, but the back half is a record, so it's pretty sweet.
Nice. I'm excited about that. I'm excited about all of these books that you are, I was about to say thrusting upon me, but that feels like a gross sentence.
I'm definitely not thrusting anything on you, so that's fine.
I appreciate that. So, the last two, I'm just moving on. The last two I have on my list, I really think are a stretch.
Okay.
I really think I stretched pretty hard.
Can't.
But I also think I just want to, I just want to talk about them, I guess. I don't know.
Okay. The first one is The Hunger Games.
So, the first one is Red Rising.
Oh, my
God. It's The Hunger Games. No, the first one is Red Rising. It's Divergent.
Have you ever heard of Veronica
Roth? But it's in the same... Honestly, not far off, because it's Red Rising by Pierce Brown. So, like, it's not Apocalypse, and it's not dystopian.
No, it's not at all.
They're a very advanced... Well, I guess at the very beginning... Am I about to spoil a series by just saying one simple sentence? Hold on. Nope. It's right in there in the synopsis. So at the very beginning, they don't know that they're in an advanced civilization, right? So it could count, maybe.
Yes.
I think I just really like the first three books in the series, and I want everyone to read them, so I keep talking about it as if I can connect it to anything, but I cannot. But yeah, it's about a man who's like a... hell diver. He like goes into, they don't know what they're mining. They're mining something that they need. Someone needs it. And it's one of those books where like politics comes into great play. Like the like underclass, air quotes, can't say anything bad about the government. And if they do, they're like publicly executed. So, you know, that happens, and the man's name is Darrow. He then goes on this mission to, like, infiltrate the highest class of people and participate in their, like, war games. That's how they are, like, how they get promoted within society. It's, like, all of their children have to go through these, like, war games where they murder each other, and it's insane. But it's, like, a very advanced civilization. Like, there's no need for them to do this, and that's... It's fascinating that they do it anyway. And does it have anything to do with this topic? No. And should you read it? Yes.
You know, it's so funny. So my friend has been trying to get me to read it for years. Not years, but like for the last year, she's been trying to get me to read it. She loved it, is reading the other ones. And I tried it. So I bought it on Kindle, tried to read it. And it's definitely fantasy, of course, is like one of those genres that like if you're slightly tired or you can't focus or you have a headache, like I can't read it if I'm like not fully present because it doesn't make sense to me. And so that happened here. Tried it on audio. Have you listened to the audio?
Yeah.
Okay. How did you get past the fact that this definitely 30-year-old Scottish dude is like talking... you know, narrating a 16-year-old character, because I just for some reason could not get it out of my head that this character is actually younger.
I'm here for the vibes, Devin.
Like I couldn't get it past it, but I guess I need to read it because everyone freaking loves this series, and I guess I'm the wrong.
I love the first three, mm-hmm. for sure. I couldn't do the fourth one. I just, like, I'm on a break from the series simply because I was like, again, really, when I started the fourth one. So I'll go back eventually, but I had to take a break because I'm just like, how are we still, what?
How are we still?
So yeah, one day I'll go back to that. But I read the first one, loved it, didn't continue with the series because I think they were, like, being written at that time. Like, I read Red Rising forever ago. So now they're all out. I think the last one in the series just published last year, maybe. So you could be finished now, but I just kind of like fell off and then I reread them last year or 2 years ago. And I'll go back. I'll finish the series one day.
Maybe we'll do it together. Add it to our list. Now, my next one is kind of a stretch because it ties into my last one in terms of theme, which is women becoming probably cannibals, I guess. So that's usually really fun. And that's The Vegetarian by Han Kang.
I've had this for a long time, but I haven't been able to bring myself to read it.
Maybe we'll try it. So it's so funny. I forgot I owned this. I was just going through my bookcase earlier today to make this list. And I was like, oh, I own this. That's cool. I have the same feeling, but about my next one, we'll talk about it in a second. So this one, for anyone who does not know, Before the Nightmares Began. Oh no, I did not look up pronunciations. I am so sorry. Yong Hee and her husband lived an ordinary life controlled life, but the dreams, invasive images of blood and brutality torture her, driving Yong Hee to purge her mind and renounce eating meat altogether. It's a small act of independence, but it interrupts her marriage and sets into motion an increasingly grotesque chain of events at home. As her husband, her brother-in-law, and sister each fight to reassert their control, Yong Hee obsessively defends the choice that's become sacred to her. Soon their attempts turn desperate, subjecting first her mind and then her body to even ever more intrusive and pervasive violations, sending Yong Hee spiraling into a dangerous, bizarre estrangement, not only from those closest to her, but also from herself. Yeah, that sounds kind of terrifying, and that sounds like it's going to be very hard. Like, you have to be in a certain mindset for this, I can tell, to be honest, but...
Yeah. So I've had it for forever, but like for one, it sounds like it's going to be really messed up. And two, I have like a very weird relationship with food, like as it is.
Okay.
So I feel like for me in particular, it's going to be kind of a rough read. So, I mean, I've had it for a really long time. It's been on my shelf. It's moved with me probably like 4 or 5 times, but I just, I can't force myself.
Yeah, we'll see. Will I read it soon? I don't know. Maybe when I go down a deep, really weird, deep horror hole. We'll see. But yeah, that's The Vegetarian.
I love it. I'm scared of it, but I'll get there one day. So I have a want to read.
Ooh, okay.
It's not original. It was very, very popular when it came out, and I just never got around to reading it, but it's been on my TBR forever, and that's The Passage by Justin Cronin.
Okay.
And this is, like, apocalyptic, but instead of zombies, they're vampire-like creatures.
Ooh.
And there's, like, a chosen one, and there's like a young girl who can save all of humanity.
Of course.
And I think it's like, it's a very like deep story. I think it's kind of like that Stephen King-esque storytelling.
Okay.
That made it super popular. But again, it is horror post-apocalyptic fiction with vampire creatures and trying to, I don't know, we're shuttling this girl from one place to another and events ensue, I'm pretty sure is how it goes. And it's been on my TBR forever. It came out, I don't know, I think I was in high school. Like, it's pretty old, or college maybe, but...
Interesting. I have to add that. I haven't heard of that one, so that's another good find for me.
It's a series.
Okay.
There might only be 2? I'm not sure.
Add it to the list. Maybe, you know what? You know what's going to happen? Because
it's a trilogy. It's The Passage trilogy.
Ooh,
I found it.
Love that. What's 1000% going to happen because of the fact that we said it and the universe has a weird way of bringing new stuff related to what we talk about into existence. Like, you know, new Hunger Games book and that special edition of Hidden Pictures and countless other things that we have seen. Yeah. I think Dystopian will make a comeback, so can't wait.
And honestly, if it doesn't, I'm going to go back. Like, I have to finish a lot of these series. Even Shatter Me. Shatter Me is like a post-apocalyptic dystopian series. I read the first one, but I never went back for the rest of them.
Oh, I want to read that one so bad. I need to figure out what the hype is about Aaron Warner. So I need to, I would like to know.
Yeah, I have the first four. I like, they're paperbacks. I think I'm going to go back and read. I say this all the time, but I want to read that series. And I don't know. There's so many books and I only have so much time on Earth. It's really disappointing.
It is. That's the biggest travesty. Like, that's the one reason I would love to be turned into a vampire. It's like, cool, I can make it through all my books. Because, holy cow, it's not possible.
I've got a thing, too, with, like, dystopian, like, how will society survive? We have to teach ourselves how to plant gardens. Like, I've got a real thing with that trope.
Well, I mean, it's kind of where we're heading.
And the book doesn't even have to be, like, real good. Like, there's a Nora Roberts one called Year One. I know. And it's, I did it on audio. And again, it's just like, oh, there's a chosen one. And, you know, everybody wants her. She's the prettiest in town. And we have to garden and collect eggs from the chickens. I don't know. I'm really into it.
It's always the chosen one is always the woman, and that is not coincidence.
Except in The Stand, the chosen one, it's a bunch of dudes.
Oh, is it?
That's by Stephen King. Yeah. So there's a girl and she's pregnant and going to have a baby. So like she is also the chosen one, but the like group of chosen ones that are like supposed to fight this battle, they're all dudes.
Yeah, I could see that. I still have not, and I've told you this, read that much Stephen King. One day, maybe in the very distant future, I will have read that and understand your references. Well, we'll see. We will see. Okay, my next one, which is the reason why I chose a vegetarian, is Tender as the Flesh by Agustina Bazturica. Now, I definitely tried to read this and I got through a few pages and was like, oh, I don't know that I am like really actually prepared.
Mentally prepared?
Yeah. because this is wild. So, synopsis for anyone who has not heard of it, it is his wife has left him. His father is sinking into dementia and Marcos tries not to think too hard about how he makes a living. After all, it happened so quickly. First, it was reported that an infectious virus has made all animal meat poisonous to humans. Then, governments initiated the transition. Now, eating human meat, quote-unquote special meat, is legal. Marcos tries to stick to numbers, consignments, processing. Then one day he's given a gift, a live specimen of the finest quality. Though he's aware that any form of personal contact is forbidden on pain of death, little by little he starts to treat her like a human being, and soon he becomes tortured by what has been lost and what might still be saved. Basically, instead of just like a animal butchering its humans, and I think...
Yeah.
I forget if they mentioned how they're chosen, and maybe I'm just leaping here, but I thought it was like criminals or like certain people, like you're kind of just like... assigned.
It's giving Handmaid's Tale, but we're gonna eat you instead of...
Yeah, so it's definitely rough. Yeah, it's not gonna be for everyone, I can already tell, but I am very curious because I hear so much about it.
Right, I've seen a lot of, like, mixed things because it's, like, it's super unhinged, and I don't know, did it start the big cannibalism...
Oh, I don't know.
...boom that we seem to be having because it was like that, and then, like, Night Bitch.
Yes.
Uh-huh. I can't remember who that's by, but she eats people. She's a werewolf.
She is a werewolf, but I think she eats... Well, also, okay, so I think technically...
Maybe that doesn't count. I don't know.
The vegetarian came out first, I guess. She doesn't eat people, though, I guess, so that doesn't really count. Never mind.
Yeah.
But I don't know, because we are seeing... There's so many books, dude, about cannibal. Like,
there's such...
Yes.
Such a boom in books about cannibalism right now that it's kind of wild.
It is. Like, I had the other day, you know, and I was pondering what maybe I would read next. I was thinking about What Hunger, but I'm going to try to hold off on that one for a little bit. But,
yeah, because it doesn't come out until August.
Yeah, and I know I'm going to love it so much that it's going to be my entire
personality. What was the one that was, like... murder soup I sent it to you. I can't remember, but the tagline for the book was amazing. Like, love, murder, soup! Exclamation point. And it is also about eating frat boys or something. Isn't it? But I can't remember. I hate myself for not remembering the title.
No, what it is, I think it's The Dead Husband Cookbook by Danielle Valentine. Isn't it?
No.
No? I want you to find yours because frat boy soup sounds kind of funny and I need to know whatever this is. Was it Olivia Blake's new one, Girl Dinner?
Yes.
Okay, there it is. See, there's so many, we get them confused. That's the next one, Girl Dinner, which is such a great name for a book. Like,
she does, like, oh, it's amazing. And then though, I'm trying to find it, but she, in her thing, she's like, this is not a cannibalism book. It's really not. I swear.
I swear, I promise. Oh, it comes out this year, too. That's exciting because her next one comes out April 1st, and I cannot wait for that one.
It comes out in October.
October, yes. October 21st, it comes out. So that's going to be, you know what, 2025 is the year of female cannibals, I guess. So,
yeah.
Let's get it.
Because there's that one. There's What Hunger by Catherine Dang.
Yeah.
That's female cannibals, and there's two others, I think.
There has to be more. We found them. We found a lot of them.
I can't wait. Girl Dinner. That's the best title for a book. I'm so excited.
Maybe that's what we should, next episode. We've talked about all the cannibal books, though, so you just have to listen to our whole podcast for the rest of them.
Yeah. Our whole podcast is basically a zombie podcast about female rage.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just female rage. So anything that falls into that, which is usually good for her or now cannibals, is what we're going to talk about. So
I don't know why that's a thing. I don't love it, but
honestly,
apparently I do.
Yeah, I think we do. I think you're lying and we love it. It's our favorite subgenre.
Ugh,
and we're here. God. We're here for it. But
we're here.
Yeah. So we are, I feel like the next 2 months are going to be very fun for us because I don't know if you've realized it yet, but we now have a very fun platform for your very favorite Halloween in May celebration. So.
Oh, that's true.
We'll see what we do.
Except what does everybody else do? Everybody else does it in April, right?
I think.
And I'm annoying and do it in the wrong month.
Well, no, but I think your work, because then. Also, the big focus is, you know, doing it over the summer, too. So I think we're still in that nice sweet spot. We're still going to do it. And technically, you could say this month because Stephen Graham Jones is horror. So I don't know. What I'm saying is buckle up because we're about to be really obnoxious, as if we couldn't get more obnoxious about horror books. So
I think so.
I think
that's the plan.
That is the plan. Who knows what we'll concoct at that time.
Not me.
Well, we usually know like 2 weeks before we record the new episode, so
I am flying by the seat of my pants here, as you can tell from my recommendations. I was like, so this has absolutely nothing to do with the topic that we're talking about, but I just wanted to talk about it. I actually have another one on my list that has nothing to do, and I was like, you know what? I'm not reading this out loud.
Tell me. Silly. Now you have to.
Save this for another.
Or do you...
No, because it literally has nothing to do
okay,
with
we'll
it.
Okay, we'll save it then.
It's like, it's dystopian in the way that Red Rising is dystopian.
Okay, yeah, so truly nothing to do. But still worth mentioning. Nope. Okay, well, I'm sure it'll come up again. We have a way of repeating ourselves.
I just like it a lot. We should probably just do a dystopian episode so that I don't have to cloak it in fake zombie dust. And I can talk about Divergent in the way that I want to, okay?
Oh my God, we could have a whole discussion about Divergent and how they did us dirty in the movie versions because that was... very lame. We could do that, but I think I have like one recommendation we haven't really talked about dystopian wise that you won't mention, so it might be the Laura show, which I'm here for.
I honestly don't think we need to do that because none of my dystopian picks are going to be original.
The Hunger Games, what's the point? Divergent, Maze,
right.
Maze Runner, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Everything from the early 2000s.
Exactly. Well, perfect. Tune in next week because who knows what we're going to read with this book. It will be a spoiler discussion and it probably won't make sense if that sounds like your vibe.
It probably won't. But the book is called Zombie Bake Off. So
we're going to get what we expect. Like, what do you expect from this?
Exactly. It is supposed to be chaotic. And if it's not, we've done it wrong.
Correct. Yes. We've done him a very... disservice, and we cannot do that.
A disservice.
We've done a disservice to Stephen Graham.
No, we cannot.
Yeah, he deserves better from us. So tune in next week, and you can find our handles for both our personal bookstagrams and at Plot Twist I Forgot in the comments below. We will see you in 2 weeks.
Bye-bye.